Welcome to The Bridge, the radio ministry of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Paul Brown. This is Father's Day weekend, and Pastor Paul has a special message for all the dads out there.
Jesus is a bridge, the way to life eternal. Come and see, come and live, come and grow. Come and see, come and live, come and grow.
Before we get started today, I wanted to tell you about a great opportunity for you this summer. Our church is hosting a special Wednesday night series called Summer Nights at the Bridge. Each Wednesday night through July 26th, we have a wonderful free program for the children and a powerful group of guest speakers for the adults and teens. This Wednesday, June 21st, our guest speaker is Dr. Jake Hebert from the Institute for Creation Research. His topic will be Global Warming and the Christian. Children's program from 6:45 to 8:30. The adult program starts at 7 p.m. We're located at 18644 Sherman Way in Reseda. Well, today I want to talk to you about Father's Day, and I hope you're having a happy Father's Day weekend already. Being a father in our culture is very challenging. Some people have an image of fathers as those who never fear, which simply isn't true. Everyone experiences fear. I heard about a man who was really nervous about an upcoming speaking engagement. He said to his wife, "I'm so nervous, I've got sweaty palms and a dry mouth." His loving wife replied, "Then why don't you lick your palms?" Well, you got to appreciate women like that, don't you? Men do have a lot of fears, especially when it comes to fatherhood. There's an organization called Paternity Angel, and on their website, they gave the top 10 fears of expectant fathers. 1, will I be a good father? 2, can I financially support the family? 3, can I handle her emotional changes? 4, am I the real father? 5, what if I die too young? 6, will my wife and baby survive? 7, will she love the baby more than me? 8, how can I help during the pregnancy if I don't understand women's problems? 9, will I do a good job at the birth? And 10, I don't even like children, so how can I cope with this? That's what young fathers experience. Even older fathers have fears. Fears of failure, fears of financial hardships, fears of the future for their children. But Proverbs 20, verse 7 makes a great statement. A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. That is a great statement. Then how does a father become a righteous man who walks in integrity? Because godly fathers want their children to be blessed. I believe it's by developing a father's greatest fear. What is the greatest fear a father have? Something that he fears more than anything else? The Bible describes it as the fear of the Lord. And it is God's desire that we would lead our families to fear him, so that the fear of God would pass on from us to our children, to our children's children, and anchor our families for centuries to come. God said it this way in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. So on Father's Day weekend, I want to share with you dads out there what you can do to pass on to future generations how to fear the Lord. There's a lot of confusion about this. This isn't something we talk about much anymore. So let me share with you three primary ways that you can pass on to your children the fear of the Lord. The first way is by exhortation. Now, the fear of the Lord is inseparably linked in the Bible with wisdom. All throughout the Old Testament, you see that the fear of the Lord brings wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is actually the cause, and the wisdom is the effect. Job 28:28 says, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Psalm 111, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments." Or Proverbs 9, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." What is wisdom? Wisdom in the Bible is skillful living according to God's word. Wisdom is not directly related to intelligence, but it is directly related to knowledge. So the wise person has knowledge from God that they skillfully apply to every area of life. And the fear of the Lord is what brings that to pass. Well, what is foolishness? The opposite of wisdom. Foolishness is when you do not skillfully apply the Word of God to every area of life. Now, this is not directly related to intelligence or knowledge. A person can be a fool even though they are intelligent and very knowledgeable because they choose not to apply what they've heard from God. But when I fear the Lord, I have a reverential awe of Him and a deep desire to know Him better. This compels me to study His Word where I gain knowledge and apply it to every area of my life, which brings wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is found all through the Scripture. We see it as early as Abraham in Genesis 20 and 22, where it says, "Because I thought, surely there is no fear of God in this place, they will kill me because of my wife." That's what prompted Abraham to not tell the truth about his wife. But in chapter 22, God said to Abraham, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Abraham was willing to be obedient to what God said, and that was a demonstration that he feared God. This statement, the fear of the Lord, appears 45 times in the Psalms. It appears 19 times in the New Testament. It even appears at the end of Ecclesiastes 12, where he says, "The conclusion when all has been said is fear God and keep his commandments," because this applies to every person. "For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil." Now, this brings us to a question. What does the fear of the Lord look like? What is it that I am to exhort my children to do? Well, there's four things quickly. First of all, the fear of the Lord is when we joyously delight in God's word. Psalm 112, verse 1. "How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments." So we exhort our children to fear God and to delight in his word. Secondly, to consistently walk in God's ways. Psalm 128, verse 1, "How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways." Proverbs 14, 2, "He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is devious in his ways despises him." So we exhort our children to delight in God's word, consistently walk in God's ways, and then thirdly, to boldly declare God's works. Psalm 64:9, "Then all men will fear, and they will declare the work of God and will consider what he has done." The fear of the Lord makes us bold to speak about God. And then fourthly, the fear of the Lord causes us to patiently wait for God's reward. Psalm 147, verse 11, "The Lord favors those who fear him, those who wait for his loving kindness." But you might be thinking, your children are going to have their favorite question about now. Why? Why? Why should I fear God? Let me give you four quick reasons. We'll expand on these in a moment. Number one, because Christ commanded it. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Secondly, because blessing is promised. Psalm 128, verse 1, how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. God brings blessing and happiness to those who fear him. Thirdly, knowledge and wisdom are obtained from it. We've seen that in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, and chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So Christ commanded it, blessing is promised, knowledge and wisdom are obtained from it, and fourthly, judgment is rendered to those without it, as we saw in Ecclesiastes 12. God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Well, your children might be thinking about now, you're only telling us this because we're a weird family. I mean, I have friends out there, and they don't have to do this. They don't have to do this. They don't have to go to church. They don't have to read their Bible. They don't have to pray. They don't have to do these things. Why should we fear God? You've told me, but who should fear God? Is this just for weird families? No, no, no. You can tell your children, from God's perspective, this is for everyone. Psalm 33, verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Now, me being a pastor, I've had my children sometimes say, Dad, if you were a plumber or something, we wouldn't have to live this way. No, children, the answer is, we love God. We're followers of Jesus. Everybody who loves God and fears him lives this way. Well, if it's that important, then where is the fear of the Lord found? Where do we get this fear of the Lord? How do we develop this? Well, there are several things, but the first one is Scripture. You've got to look in the Scripture if you want fear of the Lord to grow in your heart. Psalm 119, verse 38, establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence or fear for you. You also get it through prayer. Psalm 86, 11, teach me your way, O Lord, I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Pray to God and ask him to develop a greater reverence for him in your heart. So you get it from Scripture, you get it from prayer, and you get it from parents. Psalm 34, 11, come you children, listen to me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. If you've just joined us, you are listening to The Bridge, the radio ministry of the Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California. I'm Pastor Paul Brown, and today we're looking at a special message for dads on Father's Day weekend on the fear of the Lord. Well, as you're exhorting your children in these things, they might want to know, how long should I fear God? Well, the answer to that one is easy, forever. Proverbs 23:17 says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Don't just live it this way in church. Don't act all pious there and be a different person when you leave. Don't be a hypocrite. Fear the Lord all the time. Well, are there benefits to fearing God? Let me give you 20 quick answers to that. These are real fast. If you're writing them, write quickly. Number one, God's friendship, Psalm 25, 14. Number two, God's goodness, Psalm 31, 19. Number three, God's supply of all our needs, Psalm 34, verse 9. Number four, God's salvation, Psalm 85, 9. Five, God's fulfillment of our desires, Psalm 145, 19. Six, God's loving kindness, Psalm 103, 11. Number seven, God's increase, Psalm 115, 13 through 15. Number eight, God's pleasure, Psalm 147, 11. I love this one. The Lord favors those who fear him, those who wait for his loving kindness. Number nine, God's instruction and direction, Psalm 25, 12, comes to those who fear him. Number 10, God's knowledge, Proverbs 1, 7. Number 11, God's understanding, Psalm 111, verse 10. 12, God's wisdom, Proverbs 9, verse 10. 13, God's compassion, Psalm 103, 13. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. 14, longer life, Proverbs 10, 27. 15, avoidance of evil, Proverbs 16, 6. 16, riches, honor, and life, Proverbs 22, verse 4. 17, spiritual confidence, Proverbs 14, 26. 18, praise, Proverbs 31, 30. 19, spiritual heritage, Psalm 61, 5. 20, God's blessing, Psalm 112, verses 1 through 6. Wow, what a list of things that come to those who fear the Lord. Fathers, that's why we need to fear the Lord, and we need to pass that on to our children and our children's children that they might experience those blessings for their entire lifetime. The summary of all of that, as far as exhortation goes, what is the fear of the Lord? It's really simple. Practice the presence of God. Live constantly aware that the awesome, almighty God of the universe is with you everywhere you go, and he is ready to pour out his blessings on those who fear him. What a great thing to exhort our children toward. Well, exhortation is a great way for our kids and grandkids to learn information about fearing the Lord. But what about transformation? What is the best way to help them really grasp the fear of the Lord? Well, that's second. Not just by exhortation, but by example. Children need the example of a godly dad. According to surveys and statistics, 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes. 85% of all youth sitting in prisons grew up in fatherless homes. 80% of rapists come from fatherless homes. And about 50% of the children in America live in fatherless homes. Now, for you ladies out there raising kids on your own, I just encourage you, please take advantage of the local church where you can ask some godly men to invest in the lives of your children to help you, or even godly families that can come alongside you and encourage you and help you with this task. But for you men out there, our children need to see a man who fears the Lord, not just hear it. They need to see it. Our children and our grandchildren must see the fear of the Lord in living color as they observe our life and our relationships. What relationships are you talking about? Well, first and foremost, our relationship to God. They need to see that we truly believe what God says and we reverence him in every area of life. They need to see an ongoing awe of who God is and what he does. They need to see us with a lifestyle of worship, a lifestyle of surrender, obedience, genuine salvation. There are fathers who think they are Christian fathers, and they're not Christian fathers. They're good guys. They don't cheat on their wives. They pay their taxes, but they're making one critical mistake. They're trying to come to God on their terms, not his. But we can't do that. We must come to God on his terms, fully surrendered, and trusting in his son only. And then we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and in the Word of God daily. Oh, for our children and grandchildren to see us reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, because we fear the author of the Word of God. And they need to see that we love the things that God loves and we hate the things that God hates. They also need to see us pray, that we faithfully communicate with our Heavenly Father about everything, and that we fully rely on God. That's the example that we need to pass on in our relationship with God. What about with our wife? Our children need to see that our relationship with God impacts our relationship with our wives. They need to see that we recognize she is a child of God, and she doesn't belong to me. We are stewards. You are a steward of your wife. She belongs to God. You need to treat her like she belongs to someone else. The awesome God of the universe is her father, and we need to love her the way Christ loves her, committed to sacrificially serve her no matter what, and live with her in an understanding way, showing that we are committed to knowing her intimately and responding to who she is. And then we need to honor her highly. The song, "I Only Have Eyes for You," should be on our mind all the time. We're not looking at other women, and our children should see that when temptation comes, we run from it, and we run to our wives. We need to pray with our wives and pray for them daily. And then our children need to know, I am committed to being with my wife for a lifetime. So we need to have a right relationship with God that shows the fear of the Lord, a relationship with wife that shows the fear of the Lord, and our relationship to our kids and grandkids, that we fear the Lord and we want them to fear Him too. I heard this great quote, "It is easier to build a boy than to mend a man." We need to start early. Deuteronomy 6 says we need to constantly point them to God and to His Word, even if they mock us for it. Sometimes you're going to get pushback from your children. "Oh no, the Bible again? You're going to read the Bible to me again?" That's right. We're going to read it every day, and we're going to study it and talk about it and apply it and enjoy it. And we need to invest in our children and our grandchildren. We need to keep our commitments to them, fulfill our promises. And when they go astray, we need to discipline them lovingly to point out that they're going off on the wrong course, and there needs to be a consequence for that. Because if they learn to fear us, then when they get older, they can transfer that fear to their Heavenly Father, and they can continue to fear and obey Him even when we're not looking. And then when we do something wrong and we harm our kids, or we somehow need to ask for forgiveness, and out of the fear of the Lord, we do that. We confess to them that we've failed and we've blown it, and we need to ask for forgiveness and then pray for them. George Mueller once said, "The great fault of the children of God is they do not continue in prayer. They do not go on praying. They do not persevere. If they desire anything for God's glory, they should pray until they get it. Oh, how good and kind and gracious is the one with whom we have to do." I love that. We need to pray. If your children right now, or even your adult children, don't seem to be those that are fearing the Lord, keep praying, keep modeling, keep showing them the joy of the Lord in living a radically obedient life. And then we need to have a right relationship with our neighbors, loving them, getting to know them, serving them, telling them about Jesus, demonstrating a lifestyle without compromise. And then our relationship to our employer and our employees. We do our work heartily for the Lord rather than for men. We see our work as a platform for ministry, not just a place to make money. And we refuse to do anything illegal or immoral, even if it will make you and or the company a lot of money. And then our relationship to our finances. Show the fear of the Lord in our stewardship of money, being generous, tithing to your local church, giving sacrificially beyond that to other ministries, laying up treasures in heaven, not going into debt, all of that because we fear the Lord. So we can teach future generations to fear the Lord by exhortation and by example. And one more point, by encouragement. Psalm 78 tells us that we should tell our children and our grandchildren about the great things that God did for His people in the Bible. In Joshua, they set up memorial stones. They took them out of the middle of the river as they passed, and they set them up as a reminder to future generations of God's blessing and faithfulness. And we need to do the same thing. Share personal examples of memorial stones. Tell God about the great things He has done. Have certain things in your home you can point out to them that God provided for you. Tell them about missionaries you support who are out there impacting the world for Christ as living memorial stones. Have something in your life that they can hear daily. What's the conclusion? Fathers, yes, they do have fears, but the greatest fear a father should have is the fear of the Lord. The greatest fear of a father for his children is that they would not fear the Lord. And so he should do everything he can by way of exhortation, example, and encouragement, and then pray faithfully and fervently to the one that can create in the hearts of our children and grandchildren a true fear of Him. May the fear of the Lord be our greatest fear and the greatest fear of many generations to come. And speaking of fear, please join us this Wednesday night, June 14th, 6:45 p.m. at the Bridge Bible Fellowship, when Dr. Jake Hebert will help us understand the issues surrounding the claim of global warming and how we as Christians can respond to it. God bless you, dads. Have a great time training your children to fear the Lord.
You have been listening to The Bridge with Pastor Paul Brown of the Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California. We would love to have you join us for a worship service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. Pastor Paul is currently teaching through the book of Ephesians. We are located at 18644 Sherman Way in Reseda, California. That is 3 blocks west of Reseda Boulevard on Sherman Way. If you want more information about our church, want to listen to previous sermons and radio broadcasts, and/or desire to financially support this radio ministry, please go to our website at www.thebridgebiblefellowship.com. And please, join us again next Saturday at 7:30 a.m. here on 99.5 KKLA, when Pastor Paul will return to our verse-by-verse study of Ecclesiastes in chapter 5.